This week, a bonus episode to try and get us through the international break in which I answer your questions. We'll be going through how I approach a head-to-head matchup for the upcoming week, some individual player chat, and a little bit of chat on the past, present, and future of the FPL draft game, plus a bit more. So let's get straight into it. Welcome back to the Draft FC podcast, the podcast, website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host. And in this episode, we've got a bonus one covering some of the questions that you submitted to me in the previous week to try and get us some extra content and get us through the international break, which we're in now. So I'm recording this episode on Thursday, the 21st March. So the internationals haven't quite kicked off yet and it's still over a week to go before the next waiver deadline. So as I said in the previous week on Twitter and Reddit, I posted to ask some of your questions that would lead this episode. And so that's what we're going to get straight into. So without further ado, let's go straight into it. So I'll say right at the beginning, you should be able to follow along just fine if you're listening to the audio through your podcast platform. But this is also going to be recorded on video. And for some of these, there will be some visual elements that will be a lot easier to follow. So if you haven't yet ventured over to the YouTube channel to check us out, then head over there. The link will be in the description below if you are listening on your podcast app. But as I said, feel free to carry on listening. I'm going to make sure that it's just as equally valuable to those that are listening. So the first question came via Autumn Draft Stats on Reddit. And the question was, how to play safest possible against a title rival with few game weeks left, essentially a must win for both. This message is from JC, who many of you will be familiar with if you frequent the Draft EPL Reddit forum, as he posts excellent regular content and also runs an FPL Draft live score tracker and game week recorder. So if you want to go look into that, you can go search up his post. Now, I know he'll be in several leagues, but in this year's Draft Content Creator League, he is currently leading the way. So that's the league that we are both in. Now, this is the point where I should point out that in last year's inaugural Content Creators League, I won. And this year, I'm giving some of the others a chance. But it's very tight at the top of the table at the moment. 3 points currently separate the top four managers. And next game week is first versus fourth in your classic six-pointer, which is Autumn Draft Stats, who I'm going to refer to as JC from now on, taking on Sky Player and FPL Paul, who again, some of you may be familiar with, who's also in that draft league. So the question asks how to play safest. I'm going to tweak that slightly in a very politician way and simply answer how would I approach this situation to maximize my chances of a win while also maintaining a strong foundation in my team that's going to get me through the rest of the season. So I'll pretend that I'm JC in this scenario and I'll be approaching this as if I'm him. Now, the reason I caveat with that phrase whilst maintaining a strong foundation is because one way to attack a one-off head-to-head matchup is to aggressively differentiate yourself from your opponent by loading up on a team that could otherwise be overlooked in the waivers. This could mean, for example, in the upcoming game week, backing the likes of Crystal Palace away to Nottingham Forest, bringing in three or four defenders for an all or nothing clean sheet haul, knowing that if Palace do keep out Forest, then, you know, you're giving yourself a platform of 20, 25 points, which is fine. But you're then rolling that team into the next week and the week after, and you're pretty much leaving yourself having to fully overhaul your defence and maybe even your midfield and the striker week to week too, which really isn't sustainable. Now, the upcoming game week is a particularly difficult one to plan for generally, as we're going to see a very high turnover in terms of waivers and free agency moves. So Luton, Burnley and Brentford assets have been very popular over the last couple of weeks, and they in particular are all going to be getting thrown back into the waiver pile for some more trusted players from some more trusted teams. Now, whenever I'm looking at a head-to-head matchup, what I like to do first is just look at my team compared to my upcoming opponents and review who I think has the edge if neither of us made any moves at all. So if there were no waivers, no free agents coming in or out, who do I think's currently got the edge based on the current setup? Because this really can then help dictate how much you need to go tinkering with your team. Now, currently, in this matchup where I'm pretending that I'm managing JC's team, I would probably give the edge to my opponent, Paul, and I'll break down our teams a little bit more in a second. The other thing to note, and again, this is just a particularity for this team, in this matchup, neither JC or Paul particularly overreached in game week 29 and were happy to accept just 6 or 7 starters, which I think has probably definitely served them well in hindsight. So actually their lineups are slightly easier to predict this week because they won't have as many ins and outs as a lot of our teams will. Now for JC, the team that I'm sort of managing here, currently got 2 City players and 3 Arsenal players in a week in which the two obviously have a big clash in the title race. The other main danger player is Cole Palmer, and obviously one of the most informed players in the league right now, with Sterling, Antonio and Diaby probably the other players that could pull out returns on their day. 4 very obvious streamers in Kabore, Creswell, Murillo and Divock Origi. No real decent alternative strikers in the waivers at the moment, so probably going to have to stick with Origi for now, which isn't terrible. And the waiver priorities would be Kabore and Creswell out. Murillo out is something I might leave for free agency because my opponent Paul also owns Toffolo in his team, which I'll come on to in a second. So I might look to see, you know, if he keeps him, I might look to hold and cover off. If Paul moves Toffolo out, then I could explore my options. Now, in Paul's team, he's got 2 Arsenal players and 1 City player. Notably, that 1 City player is Erling Haaland. 2 United players. He's got Maddison in a nice game against Luton. Other danger players, Garnacho is one of those 2 United, Muniz and Bailey. The main streamers are Harry Wilson, who I think is probably unlikely to be dropped before an away trip to Sheffield United, Toffolo and Palace defender Muniz as well. Obviously, Palace and Forest playing each other in quite a tight fixture. So as I said, that City player that Paul's got is Erling Haaland. And in JC's squad, 3 Arsenal players, 2 of which are at the back. So he's got Raya in goal and he's got Ben White in defence. So the biggest potential point swing in this matchup is an Erling Haaland goal. So, well, which unfortunately isn't the sort of event you would generally want to bet against. So assuming that JC starts all of his Arsenal players, then a single Haaland goal would lose JC 9 points in clean sheets. Paul would also lose 5 because he has Kiwior, assuming he starts. But obviously, he would get 4. He would get +4 for Erling Haaland's goal. So that would be a -1 for Paul versus a -9 for me or JC, meaning an 8-point swing in favour of Paul for just a single goal. And obviously, if Haaland were to score more, that gap will only open up. So quite a knife-edge balancing point that there. And as I said, not the type of event that you would necessarily bet against either, despite the match, you know, shaping up to be quite a close one. Other swings that could go against me in this for Paul: Maddison, say Spurs playing Luton, so there's a high probability there of some Maddison points. Muniz, who's very informed Fulham striker, and they're taking on Sheffield United. And Garnacho for United away at Brentford, who again is quite informed at the moment. So there are a number of danger players there and swings that could really count against me in this head-to-head matchup. For JC, for the team that I'm looking at, Chelsea at home to Burnley is probably the biggest differentiator. So a big haul for Chelsea should almost certainly include returns to Palmer, possibly Sterling too, of which my opponent Paul currently doesn't have any Chelsea players. So that would be the biggest swing in my favour. Otherwise, it's more reliant on some individuals like Antonio performing or Diaby outscoring Leon Bailey, which are not really the sort of ones that you're going to put your house on. Now, in fantasy land, where I, let's say I hacked JC's team and took control of the wheel, the waivers that I'd be looking at making a move for this week are, firstly, getting a Chelsea defender in for Kabore, all currently available in the league's waivers at the moment, with the hope that my opponents look elsewhere. Chelsea players, also not the worst to have right down the stretch at the moment, given their extra fixtures to play over a lot of other clubs, so just more potential for points, basically. I'd consider even trying to get two Chelsea players in. I'd consider a second one in for Creswell, but this is probably low probability to come off given that JC's top, so 10th in the waiver priority. Otherwise, I'd be listing the remaining Fulham defenders to get in, of which there are at least two. United defenders, of which there are one or two available. That would also have the added ability to cover off against Diogo Dalot, who Paul owns and will certainly be in his starting 11. And then really, in terms of setting the lineup, the main decision is whether to start the full Arsenal defensive duo package in Raya and Ben White. Backup keeper is Kaminski, so I would be inclined to start Raya. And while it's a tough one, and usually you just want to start your best team, I would strongly consider benching Ben White. It would reduce the point swing from a Haaland goal and allow me a third defender to try and gain an advantage in the matchup, which currently is not stacked in my favour because of the likes of Maddison, Muniz, Garnacho, Haaland himself, who at the moment, and given the fixtures, are far more likely to hurt me. So I know that's not the most structured little segment, but hopefully that gives you an idea of some of the things that I'm looking at when approaching a head-to-head matchup. I know the other core part of this question that JC asked was doing it in a safe way. I think unless you're tearing up your entire team, then, you know, making one or two, you know, one, two, three moves with the streamers is safe, is relatively safe. Obviously, you've got to acknowledge where your danger areas are. And sometimes playing safe is simply not throwing away half your team, but maybe benching a player that you wouldn't normally bench just based on the way that the two teams stack up. Next question came from old_garage_4504. Said, is James Ward-Prowse a drop? Lack of minutes, lack of performance, and just overall a lack of getting involved in the final third without set pieces, half of which are now also being shared with Bowen and Paqueta. And he said he's in a 10-man head-to-head league. So short answer is yes. I think he very much is and could be a drop. West Ham are very much settling into a 4-2-3-1 now. Only thing that I would point out, which kind of slightly makes this question not as straightforward, is that Edson Álvarez is now suspended for the next two Premier League games, having picked up his 10th yellow card in their match against Aston Villa. So Ward-Prowse's odds of starting, certainly for the next two at least, are very high again. And I would imagine it's probably him and Suchek as a midfield pairing against Newcastle away next weekend. Now, West Ham also have two legs against Bayer Leverkusen in the Europa League, wrapped around game week 32. And overall, their remaining run in the Premier League is tricky. There are no real easy games left, and even their home game against Luton is in game week 37. So who knows what Luton are fighting for at that stage, and certainly not an easy one if they've got something to fight for. So I think really, other than Bowen, Kudus, Antonio now that he's back in the team and we're obviously short of good striker options, Areola in goal, and possibly Louis Paqueta, depending on your league size, I think all other West Ham players are droppable, and I would put Ward-Prowse into that mix. The only problem with Ward-Prowse is the nature of the player he is, which is that if he does play, and even if West Ham are getting absolutely slaughtered, he can still pop up with an assist or a goal just like that. You know, only takes one direct free kick, one nice corner being swung in for a header, of which West Ham are pretty decent at, and straight away you're getting points. So I think if you're going to drop Ward-Prowse, you do it and you just don't look at him again. If you drop him, consider him gone from your team for the rest of the season. If he does pick up a goal or assist here and there, don't think too hard on it. Just use that spot for someone with a bit more consistency or a bit more upside. Next question was from Greg Hurl, and he says, if you're decently positioned in your league and have one to two streaming spots, would you target Elise or Jota, who may be useful in the stretch, or roll the dice on a forward fighting for minutes like Unal, Raul Jimenez, or Calvert-Lewin? Now, from the way the question is phrased, I wonder if you're playing via Draft Fantasy or Fantrax, which is of course fine, but not usually the focus of Draft FC. The reason I think that is because there's the way the question is phrased, I wonder if you've got some flexibility in the positions that you're able to bring in and out. I think from those that you've listed, Jota would definitely be the lowest risk, And I think he was a name I considered bringing in last week, and something I probably regret now, given how disappointing Game Week 29 was. At least sounds like he's a bit further away from a return, and the majority of Palace's remaining fixtures are against top half opponents. In fact, they might have the hardest run-in left in the whole league. Brighton are the main team challenging them for that title. Of those forwards that were listed, Unal, Raul or Calvert-Lewin, Unal is probably the most appealing, as he's shown that he can be impressive from substitute appearances, which is what he's likely going to have to continue working with. Raul Jimenez, I don't see getting many more starts this season at all. And Calvert-Lewin has been so bad, he's been dropped for Beto. Now, Beto's hardly held down that spot either, so I expect Calvert-Lewin will probably start getting some starts again too. Maybe he just needed a few games rest on the bench to find some form again, who knows. But yeah, out of those, with reasonably low expectations, Unal is the one I would probably opt for, and Jota out of those two midfielders that you mentioned. Next question, a bit more straightforward, from Practical Noise 7031 on Reddit. He said, do I pick up João Pedro or keep Semenyo? He did also follow that up by saying, or Nkunku. And I'm going to hold Nkunku to the next question, because the next question also involves him. Out of João Pedro or Semenyo, in a straight fight, I would probably keep Semenyo for now. His peaks, I would say, have been higher than Pedro's this season, albeit inconsistent. But Semenyo in his game is really top class. Bournemouth on their game, in an attacking sense, are top class too. Brighton remain the hardest team to predict their lineups week to week. And even when João Pedro's back, he could be in and out of the team. So yeah, for me, in a straight fight between those two, it would be Semenyo. Now, the next question comes from the lovely named Hairy Nipple Maestro, who says, could you please cover a bit for Nkunku and Mbeumo? Are they worth the punt? What trade value do they have, etc.? Chelsea have nice fixtures coming up and pretty much nothing to gain or lose apart from the FA Cup. Mbeumo could just enjoy playing with Tony for the last time and score a lot just for fun. Yeah. Well, firstly, I would say, and it, you know, pains me to say it as a Spurs fan, but saying Chelsea pretty much have nothing to gain or lose apart from the FA Cup, considering they're in the semi-final, is maybe underselling it slightly. I think if Chelsea were to win the FA Cup this season, they would see that as a reasonably successful year, despite the inconsistency and some of the poor results in the league. But yeah, I totally agree with the kind of the comment in the lead into that question. Chelsea are definitely ones to pay attention to in the waivers. And if you don't get in there quickly, I think a lot of their players will soon go. And Nkunku is frustrating. He's a great player. When fully fit, he's got the potential to be up there with Palmer as their top performer. There's also definitely room for him in their 11. So it's not like they've got a raft of attacking options who have been playing so well that they're undroppable, because that really only applies to Palmer. His availability is very high. He should be fit again after the international break, and definitely someone I personally will be eyeing up in the waivers in any leagues in which he's available. And Bumo's ownership really started to boom a few weeks ago, and if you didn't get him in most engaged leagues, you've probably missed the boat. And that's not surprising, just how good he was in the first half of the season before he got injured. I was fortunate enough to draft him in my main league, and he's been a big miss ever since. He has since been picked up by a manager lower down the league in my main draft league, which, you know, I think it was a good move a few weeks ago to get him in early. Brentford really do need to find their best form again. They're right down there in a bit of a relegation scrap. I think that will almost certainly mean that Mbeumo is back into the starting 11, because the kind of form and the good results they were getting earlier in the season, a lot of that was down to him, obviously, because they didn't have Ivan Toney. Between the two, I'd rather have Mbeumo than Nkunku. I think a fully fit Mbeumo this season is a very high-level FPL player. And if he were free, I think he's an absolute must to pick up ASAP. The question also mentioned trade value. I think if I already had Mbeumo, I'd want a fairly high price to part with him. Nkunku is probably the one you're more likely to be able to sort of buy low or give someone a tempting offer. I think if they picked Nkunku up recently, then they've probably seen some potential in him that they're looking to hang on to. If there's someone that's been holding on to Nkunku for a long time, been trying to ride the waves of all of his various injuries, then you probably could tempt them with a trade more than, as I said, someone that's just picked him up. But yeah, Mbeumo certainly for me would be quite hard to part with, but if you could get a good deal for someone that owns Zumbumo, then go for it. Another question came from Consistent Ad 4730. He said, next good pickups in the waivers for mids, and he's mentioned Jota or Elise. So obviously I've just discussed Jota and Elise. Definitely Jota for me over Elise and us. But I'm still going to be doing a usual game week preview pod next week. So I have all the usual waiver suggestions in that one. Yeah, and won't go into loads of options now. Then lastly, one of the Twitter questions from FPL NFL, and a recurring question that usually arises in postseason when we're looking forward to the game starting anew for the upcoming season. He said, when do you think FPL Towers will give us more draft league customization? Now, the game has essentially remained unchanged since its inception from official FPL just under 7 years ago now. And as the popularity of the FPL draft game grows worldwide, people begin to take it more seriously. People are seeing what's going on in other games and wondering why, as FPL NFL says, FPL Towers don't bring some of that functionality into their own draft game. The main reason it is seemingly neglected is because for official FPL, it is not their favoured child. We know that the main game now has over 10 million registered teams in it, and draft remains nowhere near that. Indeed, the number of FPL players that still haven't even come across the draft concept is staggering and a near weekly occurrence we have to deal with at Draft FC. I also think it's worth pointing out that this issue isn't totally unique to FPL Draft, as the main FPL game has remained relatively stagnant for many years too, highlighted by us getting, you know, reasonably excited by minor things like players being recategorized between forwards and midfielders for some element of novelty. Interestingly, on Tuesday there was a tweet that for some reason got quickly deleted teasing something new coming in, and the consensus seems to be that this will be a new game mode allowing players to kind of select a completely new 11 each week in a sort of 1 week challenge against other players who are also doing that, because apparently our attention spans can't cope with managing a fantasy team for the duration of an entire season. Obviously other sites provide things like custom scoring, custom ways to draft, custom ways to waiver and tinker with your team mid-season. I think custom scoring ain't going to happen in official FPL draft, probably, well, not for the foreseeable future, because I think it's always going to mirror the scoring in the main game. And I believe we could see new scoring avenues added to FPL soon, and that would then carry over to draft. Particularly be nice to have some extra stats-based metrics for tackling, interceptions and dribbling, which obviously opens the door for central midfielders and is obviously a big part of some of the other draft game modes to kind of widen the player pool that we're looking at. Things like flex positions that go against the kind of rigid standard 15-player structure for FPL. Again, I don't think we'll see either, as that would mean them essentially coding a new game. So yeah, things like the team structure and the scoring, I think we'll just continue to mirror the main FPL game. So if the changes happen there, I think we'll see them in draft. But if we don't, we won't. The easiest and probably one of the most welcome changes would simply be to allow a custom draft order. It's, of course, it'd still be fine if you want to just tick the box for random allocation. But knowing the draft order pre-draft potentially means you can do your prep in a whole different way. You know, it gives you a whole added layer of detail that you can get into knowing that, well, you know, if you're drafting 10, you can take the hassle out of over-prepping the first round. In the same way, if you know you're drafting first and you know who your first pick is, then again, you don't really need to worry about a hell of a lot of players that are going to come for the rest of round one and up into round two. So that would be nice. Let's say, won't break the game, won't mean they have to really recode the entire thing. It's just a nice little bolt-on that could be part of the setup for the league. The other easy change, which doesn't involve them reinventing the FPL wheel, would be to provide some more options with waivers and maybe build in an alternative priority system for another, you know, added layer of tactics. Again, be completely fine to be able to select an option which keeps the waiver format exactly as it is now in reverse league order. But there could be other ways. You know, priority could rotate week to week, or you could forgo your waivers for a week or two in order to save up for a higher priority pick down the line. It would then mean you're having to think a bit more carefully about your waivers for, streaming defenders, knowing that if you did grab someone, it's potentially putting you to the back of the queue for the following week, where that waiver might come in a lot more handy. So, yeah, I mean, we at Draft FC, for our sins, have reached out to official FBL once or twice in the past to, you know, try and inquire about changes, offer some advice for whatever they deem it's worth. I know I wrote to them last year. So far, the silence from them has been deafening. The final question is a doozy. It's a good one. And the original plan was that I would read this question now and I would answer it now. In prepping for this, though, a hell of a lot has come out of really great data, thanks to my colleague Draft FC Taz, who runs the site and all the data side of things. So I'll read the question now. It's from Largemouth Brass on Reddit. He says, I'm curious how closely game week points translate to wins and losses in head-to-head draft. I believe in the last 5 years I've played head-to-head, there were two seasons where one team was massively better than the rest and both won the league, finishing with the most game week points. The other years, the highest points team did not win the league. I know you're probably in a lot of leagues, so you might have some insight into this. Yeah, indeed, I do have some insight into this from the leagues that I've been involved with over the last few years. But we are obviously coming at this from Draft FC, and we're able to not just look at some of the leagues that myself or any of us here have been involved with personally, we can look at all of the draft leagues that are currently in existence. So what Draft FC Taz has managed to do for a number of the league sizes, I think he's done it for 6, 8, 10 and 12, is pull out all the data from all of the current head-to-head leagues and basically have a rummage around and see what the correlation is between game week points or total points and where those players are in their respective head-to-head leagues. One interesting point, and a slight spoiler for the next podcast episode, is that there is a 10-team league in existence right now, an engaged 10-team league, I should add too, in which the manager with the most FPL points is currently 10th from 10 in their head-to-head league, which is obviously a huge outlier, but demonstrates where the luck can come into play. Or is it luck? As I said, lots has come from that, and looking at some of the graphs and the data that's come from that analysis. So rather than getting into it here, and because there's still some other things that I want to get my teeth into in preparation for that, I'm going to save that for an entire video in itself, which I'll probably record this weekend. So rather than just having this bonus episode for the international break, there will be another one coming in just a few days' time, which will allow that to have its own space and potentially spark some conversations from you guys as to your theories around things. I know we've got a couple that I'll talk about in that video. But yeah, I felt it needed the space and deserved the time itself in its own episode. So that will be coming very shortly. So that is it for this episode. No waiver deadline to remind you about just yet, because as I said, we're in the international break. If you're watching this on YouTube, then give us a thumbs up and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the future episodes as they come. For those listening on the audio, do the same on whichever podcast platform you're listening to as well. If you need to reach out or get a hold of us, you can obviously comment on the videos or reach out to us on Twitter or X at @draft_FC, which is probably the inbox I check the most day to day and week to week. So if you've got any particular questions for your team, comments on any of the rubbish that I spout on here, then that's probably the best way to engage with me. Yeah, but all things great and small, I'll talk to you on there. Even if it's just looking at some of the waivers you're plotting for your draft team, I'm always happy to talk. Of course, all of the data that I use in the game previews and some of the data I'll be showing you in the next episode are only possible thanks to draftfc.co.uk, which I'm sure many of you who have listened to a while will have checked out at some point. But if you're new and you haven't, and you take your official FPL draft seriously, then I would urge you to head over there and sign up. You can with a 1 month free trial, which is Draft FC Pod, all one word. And so you can then try before you sign up proper. Loads going on over there, particularly late in the season. We see a lot of people signing up to have a look where their leagues are ranking in the global rank feature that we have. So if you're not familiar with that, obviously, in the main FPL game, you're able to see exactly where you rank overall in the world. With draft, you're only able to benchmark yourself usually against the other managers in your draft league. What we've managed to do is say, for example, if you're in an 8-team league, we have a look at the total points scored by your league as a whole, and we rank that against every other 8-team league in existence to give you an overall global rank to prove to yourself, prove to your league rivals just how good or bad you are. So essentially, if you end up as the first overall ranked league of say 8 teams and you won that league, you could pretty, in our eyes anyway, definitively deem yourself the best 8-team official FPL draft manager in the world, which is always handy. That is a title I myself managed to pick up a couple of years ago when we were a 10-team league. We are an 11-team league this year. Currently not doing quite as well as I'd want us to. We're sitting in fourth. There's nearly 1,000 11-team leagues, so we're currently fourth. We've been over 100 points behind the first-ranked league, which are called FPL War. This game week, we've managed to close the gap slightly. We're now 99 points behind, so we're reeling them in. Not many game weeks left to go, though, so we will have to pull our fingers out if we want the Shook Ones 23-24 to be the first overall ranked 11-team league. So I'll obviously keep you posted on that. But say that interests a lot of people, particularly now as we're getting to the business end. Lots of people are interested to see where they're shaping up as we approach game week 38. Obviously, aside from that, you've got the squad planner, which gives you all the ownership stats. You can see how many people are getting waived in and out. All the free agent moves in terms of ownership percentage swings. Get monthly reports for your league, which you can then share with your other managers. League analytics, fixture difficulty rater, our predicted lineups, which is obviously free to everyone, but for those that are signed up, the predicted lineups feature is fully integrated with your league data, so it will show you who's available, and it's all kind of plumbed in and personalized to you. You've got our draft rankings on there. And the other big thing, which is particularly important to think about as we're heading towards game week 38, is the league history function. So obviously, once you renew the game, your previous draft league's data is wiped because you kind of sign up and create a new league anew. It's not like you're kind of bolting onto the back of the last one. But if you're a signed up member of Draft FC come game week 38, your league data can be filed away in the league history tab. And even if you just signed up in game week 38, that will go right back to game week 1. So you won't just get that final game week's worth of data. You'll have the whole season's data available to you as if you were signed up for the whole year. And that will live there forever. So as long as you then are a member at Draft FC for, you know, years to come, every year you'll be able to look back and pull out every individual bit of data that you might want to. So if I want to look back and see who my matchup was in game week 2 years ago, I can pull that out. And there isn't really any other way to do that at the moment, apart from a lot of manual dredging and a lot of manual work. Whereas when we save it, it also saves it in a nice and easily presentable fashion for you to look back on. So all good things to think about. And as I said, you can get a 1 month free trial with the code DRAFTFCPOD, all capitalized, one word, and have a look around before parting with any of your money. So that is it for this episode. A reminder, if you haven't, do click the subscribe button and give us a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube and you haven't already. Also give us a follow on the podcasting apps, follow us on Twitter, and head over to draftfc.co.uk. And until next time, as always, stay shook.